I think the holidays are stressful for anybody, but for people going through divorce and co-parenting, yes, it is a stressful time. Hey, welcome to the WTF Divorce Podcast. My name is Rob Roseman. On this show, we talk about everything divorce, whether you're thinking about divorce, going through it, or figuring out life after. Divorce, co-parenting, dating. We cover it all and break it into short clips so it's easy for you to find and learn from. If you want more help, head on over to WTFdivorce.com. Thanks for listening. On to today's show. Real quick, let's talk about the sponsor. Today's WTF Divorce episode is brought to you by SoberLink. If you're going through a divorce and custody case involving alcohol, SoberLink is the solution for you. More on SoberLink at the end of the show. Now, on to today's episode. I'm always big on like how these conversations start. Any suggestions for how you would frame the conversation to your co-parent that like, look, this might sound like I'm going after you here, but I'm a bit worried about this. I want the best for our kids. I discovered this tool that can help us both. Any suggestions for how a co-parent can broach this conversation?
Yeah, I think, it's making sure that everything is talked about up front. What are the expectations? What happens if there is a positive with this technology? You know, we want to make sure that we deal with all of the things in a way that are supportive. You know, the worst thing that can happen is that, oh, you had a positive, you tested positive, we're going to take away the child, you're not going to be able to see for 6 months or something like that. I don't want to get into a technology that's going to do that, because I know that, you know, with alcohol use disorder, relapse is pretty much part of the process. So I know there's going to be positives, and we see it day in and day out. So we need to have the conversation up front of expectations and making sure that we're very supportive. We want this person to grow. We want this person to get better. We want this person to empower themselves to then stay in that child's life. So make sure the conversation is a supportive one up front, and not one of, I'm just trying to catch you, I'm out to get you. Once you start thinking like that, this is going to fail from the very beginning. And I think that's really important to note, is that if you're out to catch someone, SoberLink is definitely not the technology for you. I don't think that it's used correctly at that point. You're actually weaponizing our technology, and that's not what we want. So again, just make sure that the conversation is open, it's upfront, it talks about what's going to happen when there's a possible positive, so that everyone's kind of on the same page. And, you know, I think that's really important.
What might that look like if somebody does, you know, not pass their test? It could just be an isolated thing, but that parent might be worried, oh, I failed, they're going to take away my kid forever. Is it just the other parents in the balls in their court where they could say, look, I'll just keep the kids until you blow a negative test? How does that look?
Great question, Robin. And I do think that, you know, going back to what I said earlier about making sure that it's all kind of documented up front, so you know exactly what's going to happen when you blow a positive. And if there is a relapse, or there is a situation where, you know, this just happened, and, you know, I feel bad about it, but okay, what's the action that's going to take place? And I think that's something that you can consult with a mental health professional or someone that's, kind of looking at this a little bit differently. Things that I've seen is that potentially that parenting time is then forfeited. Maybe there is a amount of time of proving that you're back and you have sobriety for maybe a week of time, and then you can go back to that parenting time that you originally had. So there might be a little bit of a lag until you prove that sobriety again. But those are just some things that I've seen, but every situation's a little bit different. It depends on history, where you're coming from. And, you know, I always say that having a mental health professional, someone that maybe is specializing in addiction, be part of the conversation, because they'll have some great ideas on how to use this and make sure that, you know, we're going in the right direction with, you know, making this an empowerment tool.
Right. I like the way you talk about that. I'm curious to play devil's advocate here for the parent that says, oh, they blew the negative test, they're good to go, but I know right when they get over there, they're going to be drinking. Is it the kind of thing where I imagine driving is the biggest concern for a parent, is especially on these transitions, is once they blow the test, they're home free. Any ways to mitigate, like, what happens once the test is complete?
Sure. So we offer two different programs. We offer one that's testing around parenting time. We call that level one. And typically the way that works is that there is a test that happens to then confirm the exchange of the child. So that happens before anyone is going to get in a car and go to pick up the child. And then maybe there's tests in that situation every 4 to 5 hours during the parenting time period. And then there's a test that happens after drop off to then kind of bookend, you know, the parenting time that they had that was unsupervised. So that other parent knows, okay, look, you know, there's documented sobriety during the entire parenting time. I feel a lot better about what's happening. Let's keep this up. I think we're going in the right direction. We do have a level two that's more of like our treatment model, where you're testing 2 to 3 times a day. And that just depends on where you are within your recovery. And, you know, typically it will be right when you wake up, one time midday, and then let's say right before you go to bed, maybe around 10 o'clock at night. That's a great program for those that have been in treatment. They're trying to reinforce that treatment that they had and document that sobriety. But those two programs fit, you know, I would say 95% of the situations that we see in family law. So, you know, I think we have a program that will fit any situation. But that's what we offer today. Yeah.
From what I hear, the biggest thing you're offering is peace of mind to the co-parent, because even if your co-parent isn't drinking, you're worried about what the heck is going on over there. I remember come the holiday times last year, I had to wrap the presents and like, I didn't know what I was doing. And I took a picture of it all just crumbled with like duct tape. And I said, if you're wondering what's going on at your co-parent's house, this might be it. So I think in general, it's like bringing awareness and peace of mind to the other side. And I like how it benefits both sides, because if not, you just tend to think the worst of what's going on with the other co-parent. And this can provide some transparency.
Absolutely. Transparency is a great word to use. I try and use that a lot, because that's exactly what it is. You know, when you get that text message or that email 60 seconds after the test is taken, you're like, wow, okay, there it is. I know everything is good. And that's really important, especially during the holidays. You know, you bring up a good point. You know, the holidays, we always think about relaxing or, you know, kicking back and spending time with family. But in retrospect, it's probably some of the most stressful times that we have, and we know that drinking comes to be when we're stressed. So for those that are recovering or those that are in treatment, you know, those are tough times for these individuals, and we have to be mindful of that. You know, not always is it about relaxation. Family time can be stressful.
Oh, absolutely. I think the holidays are stressful for anybody, but for people going through divorce and co-parenting, yes, it is a stressful time. One other question I had about it, is this all between me and the co-parent, or is a lawyer involved in the mix too, or is that only in certain situations?
Yeah, great question. I think I would always recommend that the attorneys be part of the monitoring agreement. Now, they don't need to get the real-time results. That's not necessary. That's a lot of noise for an attorney. And, you know, we have to be careful about all those kind of things because they're very busy. But we can set it up to where they can get monthly reports where, you know, you can see a calendar-type report time-stamped of every single test that was taken. And then we color code them red for a positive, green for compliant, yellow for missed. And it's very easy for the attorney just to quickly go through the page. That's the kind of thing that we send to attorneys, but it's nice to have them a part of it so that if there is a time they have to go back to court, they can then call us up, get any type of records that they need, and not have to worry about it. But when you're not part of the monitoring agreement, we are HIPAA compliant, so we wouldn't allow any of those documents to go out unless you were, you know, upfront, kind of a part of that agreement.
Awesome. So we talked about the holidays. I think a lot of people are going to be listening to this before the holidays and thinking, oh my goodness, this is the situation I'm going through. What would you tell somebody if this is a big concern of theirs? What can they go and do? What's the action step that they can take if they're interested in learning more about SoberLink?
Well, I think the first thing to do is go to soberlink.com and just go to the website, do a little research, and find out how this all works. You know, we talked about it a little bit, but explore the two different programs that we offer in family law, figure out which one would be a good fit for your situation. The one thing that we don't want to do is, you know, like I mentioned earlier, is to weaponize it. We don't want to set up too many tests to where the person we're trying to get to test doesn't want to test anymore because it's too overwhelming. I mean, that's just going to lead to someone getting anxious. It's going to lead to someone maybe even drinking after that because they're so frustrated about the process. So there has to be this balance. And I think knowledge is very powerful when you're thinking about what can actually take place and what am I looking for to get to a peace of mind where I'm going to feel comfortable. And it can work on both sides because, again, I said if you are the one that needs to prove your sobriety, go on our website, see how the testing works, watch a video of how to submit a test, see how easy it is, because it literally takes 60 seconds to actually submit the test. Our devices are very small. I mean, they can fit in your pocket. They're meant to be used discreetly, not around your kids. You know, if you're out playing in the playground, you don't have to worry about it. You can go behind a tree real quick or go to the bathroom at the local playground, whatever it may be, but you can test anywhere and at any time. It's remote. So, you know, you're not constrained to going to a laboratory, you know, to get the testing. So you can still maximize that parenting time that you have with that child. Cause I know that time is precious and we don't want to have our technology interfere with that. So it's meant to be used, you know, in the whole scheme of things, almost like it was just part of the day. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it gets to where it's a habit and it just happens and it just happens naturally. And it's replacing the triggers that used to, you know, trigger you to maybe drink at the time. You know, I've seen all sorts of different things, but yeah, if we can get it to be a habit, I think that's going to be a really good situation going forward.
Yeah, I find it really interesting because when I first learned about it, I was like, this is a gadget, a technology. It looked cool. Yeah. But the more I learned about it and the way you're talking about it, you're solving a problem. And that's what any, you know, product should do, is the problem. And the problem is the tension, the worry, the peace of mind, the, you know, relationship with your kids. It's amazing how one piece of technology like this can change the entire dynamic of a family. So I appreciate you coming on, supporting the WTF Divorce podcast. I think this is very important, especially over the holidays. We're all stressed. So soberlink.com, go check it out. Chris, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Rob, and happy holidays to all your viewers out there.
It comes as no surprise that not all divorces are created equal. While some divorces are collaborative and amicable, others are painful, accusatory, and may simply have you thinking, what the F? If you're co-parenting with an ex-spouse who abuses alcohol, this is a sobering reality. The folks at SoberLink want to help. SoberLink's alcohol monitoring system is the most convenient, reliable, and reasonable way for a parent to provide evidence that they are not drinking during parenting time. The system's real-time alerts, facial recognition, and tamper detection ensure the integrity of each test, so you can be confident that your kids are with a sober parent. With SoberLink, judges rest assured that your child is safe, attorneys get court-admissible evidence of sobriety, and both parents have empowerment and peace of mind. The WTF divorce community is here to help shed light on the fact that whatever you're going through, you are not alone. If SoberLink is reaching you at the exact time that you need it, visit www.soberlink.com/WTF to sign up and get $50 off your device. That's www.soberlink.com/WTF.